Good evening. Good evening. This is Dr. Susan Lindner, and you are listening to Mental Health 360. This is where we answer your questions and where we review real topics that are relevant to our mental health and our wellness. So, if you'd like to call in with a question, we're in the US and we are actually right now, this is 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is 888-627 6008. That's 888-627-6008. As some of you may know, I am new to this little podcast series, and I am finding my way in terms of learning how to actually share and post my videos, my audios, and also what to do with scheduling and how to actually best execute a program that's going to suit the needs of our listeners. So I got some suggestions over the past actually 2 or 3 weeks saying that the guests that I had interviewed were very interested and interesting, but they had their own questions and they felt that some of the sessions and some of the dialogues that we had were maybe too lengthy. So, in response to that, I have decided that tonight I will answer the email questions that I have received over the past 3 to 4 weeks. So, tonight we are going to actually discuss and talk about a few different types of mental health issues and concerns. Of course, if you'd like to call in and you have your own concerns, that's not relevant to what I'm sharing in terms of resources and education. Feel free to give us a call, and it's 888-627-6008. And we will have Thomas, who's the producer of tonight's show. He will actually be bringing you on board if you call in. So tonight we're going to speak basically about some general mental health topics that we all hear about every day. And what I will do here is I will define for you using real life experiences, but not using the real names of patients and clients, how actually these mental health disorders or psychological issues, how they actually present in real life. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this for a few different reasons, but primarily because many people will come into my office and they'll say, okay, you know what? I have anxiety. And everyone tells me I'm very anxious. And the truth of the matter is, there are times when my patient is accurate, but most often or not, my patient is not accurate in terms of the diagnoses. And understanding the innuendos and the very subtle differences, the subtle threads that really differentiate between, let's say, a generalized anxiety disorder. Or, for example, an agitated depression, or let's say dysthymia. Okay. So, empowering my patients with how those three terms are actually defined and then asking them how it applies to their life has really been, from what I understand and their feedback to me, quite supportive. So, what we'd like to do tonight is, I'm going to go over exactly a few different things. The first is mental health conditions. I will also go over GAD, which is generalized anxiety disorder. I will cover a few questions if I can get to it, dealing with depression. And then I will also review some questions with some responses regarding childhood trauma and its impact on our psychological functioning and how it impacts us in the present and moving forward as we plan our lives in the future. So let's just start first with first of all, mental health conditions, right? So what does that mean, mental health conditions? That really basically means that there is a defining dictionary of terms that you can find easily on my website, which is connected to psychologytoday.com. My website is www.keepinglifereal.com. And if you check on the category that says defining terms, you will actually get connected over to Psychology Today. And that's one place where you can find out what are the clinical definitions of anxiety, depression, dysthymia, aggression, and anything else that may be bothering you, trauma, re residual impact of trauma, and how that impacts functional and social and physical health and well-being. Okay, so all of that good jazz. You can also check them, any types of defining terms. You want to go to really the specific sources, and there are fantastic resources out there, and there are fantastic websites and podcasts where real people are talking about their real problems in their in real terms. But when it comes to you, and it comes to your mental health, and it comes down to your mental health and wellness, I think it's best for you to be empowered with the best possible terms and the clinical terms, and being empowered right with the right information. So our number here is 888-627-6008. We are in the States, United States, and this is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time show. So if you're listening from abroad, you know what time we are here, 8, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So another good reference when we are talking about what is a mental health issue. You may want to try the going right to the source, which would be the American Psychiatric Association or the American Psychological Association. And then, of course, if you are in the States, you can go into your state, just do a Google search, and you could do, for example, I'm in New York, and you could do New York State Psychological Association. And there also are tremendous amount of resources and tools in terms of helping you better understand like what you may be going through. Okay. So now we get to, let's just say, for example, you have an idea. All right, I get very anxious before I walk through the door and go into a new place or to go to a party, or I know that I have an event and I start thinking about it like 3 or 4 days before the event, and I'm worried about like how am I going to look and who am I going to know? And I'm nervous about not knowing anyone. And all of these ruminations start to build up inside of you. So what you can do is after you have gone into some of these resources for support, like I just shared with you, and define your mental issue. I don't want to say a mental diagnosis, but your mental issue, your personal problem, your psychological issue. Once you've defined it for yourself and you think that you really may be within the ballpark of defining what it is that's going on for you, the next step would be for you to try to find some self-inventory. What do I mean by that? Self-reporting inventories. These are really just subjective tests that you can take. You can find a lot of them over the internet. You can, let's say, do a search, a Google search, and let's just say hypothetically that you have anxiety and you think that you may have generalized anxiety disorder. Now, anxiety falls under a lot of different umbrellas. So we'll have like anxiety could be obsessive compulsive disorder. Anxiety falls under the umbrella of also hoarding. There's an unspecified anxiety disorder and many other things. Anxiety is mixed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which that in and of itself, ADHD, happens to be more like a crockpot type of diagnosis. So let's just say that, okay, you've gone into defining terms, you've went to the real science websites, and you have defined what you think is going on here. And then you can do a Google search and then look for a questionnaire or an inventory or it's called really a subjective test to measure, if it's anxiety, to measure your level of anxiety. And there, what's very important is that when you find a questionnaire that you're answering the questions to, What's very important is to make sure that you pay attention to the question. Really read that question and see, does this question really apply to me? Because if you feel that it does or it doesn't, it's going to really help you narrow down on what your actual diagnosis may or may not be if you were to, let's say, go into an office or do a virtual telemental health session with a clinician. You'll have more tools and you'll have a better sense of what is and isn't going on if you pay attention to those questions and then you figure out what it is and what isn't going on with you. Okay. So, why do I provide you with this information? Because I really believe that the power of your mental health and wellness is in your hands. And yes, guidance and therapy and clinical support is so helpful. But with the right information and with the right resources, I really believe that clients and someone who is not does not have a PhD in psychology would be able to better really pinpoint what's been going on. And what's been going on usually when you have a problem, I'm going to just jump on this. It's part of the mental health problems. But I didn't mention it in the beginning, but I will share this. When you have a problem and something's going on, most of the time, most likely, if you allow yourself really to assess what's bothering you, and let's just say hypothetically, you have some dysthymia. Dysthymia is like depression, but it's a lower grade depression. It's not a depression where you're in bed. And then either you're not eating and you are oversleeping, and you are closing your curtains and not answering your phones. That's not depression. Dysthymia sits on the fence with depression, but it is not depression. Dysthymia is a low grade flat mood. It acts as if you get up in the morning and you do what you got to do and you get through your day, and I'm using those words intentionally, get through the day, because people who have a low flat mood feel that they have to get through the day, that they're not actually getting up and they're going to take a bite out of life, which is a whole different energy. Like a whole different sense of, let's say, when you wake up and you want to go and get them. Okay, that doesn't happen when you have the dysthymia. You have a low grade flat mood. And you want to just like get through the day. And you do. You get up and you go do what you have to do when you go to work and you take care of things that you have to with your children or your family, or you attend family events. But inside, internally, what patients report is that they really just experience or they're lacking a sense of joy. And you know that's sad. When you're lacking a sense of joy and a sense of zest in life, that's tough. It's tough to get through each day, in and out, feeling flat, not really interested, yet still participating. So, what am I saying? When you're dysthymic, what happens? You're physically showing up, but you're emotionally absent. And that's not really effective living, and that does not help support your optimal health and mental health. So if you find that you're in that situation, there you go. Now you've defined it. And what you're trying to do, what we're all trying to do here in with this conversation tonight, is what I'm saying is that imagine that you have, for example, what is that when you have, let's say, a funnel, right? And you actually pour the water in through the big circle at top, and then it has a narrow, piece at the bottom, and the water slowly goes down the tube, like the piece of the funnel, and then it slowly goes into a bottle. So if you have a funnel on top of a bottle, you're going to throw, you're pouring the water in, and it slowly funnels down into the bottle through the funnel top, so you don't have anything leaking and you know when to stop and you know when things get full. So, how do you know what's filling up your bottle, which is your internal self? How do you know that? Well, by doing some research, one, like I just suggested, and looking at the real scientific websites and sources to define what's going on for you. That's number one. Number two would be to look online for some questionnaires that you can answer, questionnaires that you can respond to, where they'll give you a self-score. You can score it up yourself and just see if when you get that score, if that really pertains to you. And if it does, fantastic. But what I'm also reminding you is to write down the specific questions, because the questions that do not respond to you, even though you may qualify, for example, if it was an anxiety questionnaire, you may qualify and you may achieve a score of mild anxiety. But there are going to be some questions where you actually did not answer the question that would score you higher on an anxiety inventory. And it's those questions where you're not scoring, it is those questions that you want to pay attention to, because therein lies where a clinician will be able to decipher and determine a differential diagnosis for you. And that's the point of this whole little bit of research and internal reflection, is finding out not only is what is your primary diagnosis, but what is the differential diagnosis. And that's why when we first started speaking tonight, when I said a patient will walk in and they're telling me that they have anxiety, but usually when by the time I'm done listening and hearing their examples and we speak a bit, I find out, okay, look at this. Yes, there's anxiety here, but a primary diagnosis really is more or less an agitated depression with threads of anxiety, with threads of outbursts, with threads of frustration. But knowing what the differential and primary diagnoses is going to be significant as you learn how to navigate what's important to you and how you can actually feel better, both mentally and physically. And what we're looking for is an alignment. An alignment, which means that we're looking for answers that are going to help you realign the balance between your spiritual soul, your cognitive intellectual capacities, and then your higher power. And having alignment from the higher power to the cognitive intellectual capacities inside the brain, down into your soul and your heart and your emotions, having alignment with the three is going to reap the most benefit for you. Okay? And that's what we're looking for you to do. So, phone number to call in is 888-627-6008. If you are listening to this program after the fact, after we're live, feel free to send me a question like other callers have and other listeners have at info@keepinglifereal.com. Okay? info@keepinglifereal.com. You can also look at my book, which will be published in Thanksgiving this year, 2021. The website for that is resetyoursoul.nyc, New York City. That's resetyoursoul.nyc, New York City. And that is the name of the book, Reset Your Soul, The Power of Positive Mental Health by Dr. Susan Lindner. Okay, so if you're listening, feel free to send me over an email, info@keepinglifereal.com, or call in at 888-627-6008. Okay, so now we actually have defined really what do you do? What that's the question. What do you do when you have a mental health concern or a mental health issue? So that's some feedback, and those are some resources that I wanted to provide. Direct yourself in the right direction, with the right type of, or the correct. Or the most supportive, I should say, the most supportive type of strategies that are going to help you move from point A to point B without too much of a hiccup. But having stated that, Let me warn you, and I say that warn is being used in terms of warning you is not warning you, but it's almost like giving you an alert. Let me share with you some real good tips in terms of when you have this clinical diagnosis and you have some coping strategies, what do you do? What do you do with that thereafter? That's the question. So we're going to take a brief break, and then I am going to be right back and answer some questions regarding trauma and the impact it's having on your life right here and now. And we'll be right back after this quick 2 minute break. I'll be right with you. Thank you. Okay. Okay, and I think we might have lost our producer, Tom, because I was going to take a break here and I was going to make sure that we have a good internet connection. And I hope you don't. We do. Hold on just 1 second. Let's just type him a letter and see if he's here. This is a pretty good gig, this BBS. They really hooked me up pretty good. So just give me 1 moment. Okay, so when we're waiting for Tom to come back and we can take a break, just to check my signal. That's the only reason why I really did want to take a break. I want to check and make sure that my signal is okay. Let's go on and let's move forward. So let's now go on to about trauma. Okay. Trauma is really what most people don't realize, and what really brings people into therapy, and what really is the underlying factor in any type of psychological condition, usually is trauma. So, there is no such thing as a perfect childhood, correct? And hopefully you do know that. Even there are people who say I had a perfect childhood and I had a roof over my head and food on my table and I had everything that I needed. But there was a but. Why is it that I'm an adult and I have very horrific depression and anxiety? Well, even though the client reports to me that she had a perfect childhood, and that's using her words, not mine, a perfect childhood. Even though she reports that, the truth of the matter is it wasn't so perfect. Okay, so what do we find out about trauma? When we do some digging, we find out that she had a mother who was and is an alcoholic, and she had a father that used significant corporal punishment in order to keep the house very calm. So, if you were a guest from the outside going into this home, you probably would think that this is the really most put together family that you've ever seen. Like the house was very tidy, and the mother and father very cooperative with one another, and socially very engaged and good neighbors. They had the fence, the picket fence, and the dog, and the 2 kids. They had a car in the garage. They had everything that maybe used to be the pipe dream. And I don't even know what that is, the dream anymore. Going through COVID, I really do not know what the dream is. All I know is that living in the present and living here and now, moment to moment, is really what is really the most important, the focus on the present. But if you have had trauma, and trauma is something that is really underlying your present presenting problems, then you need to look at the trauma. So I'll give you an example. What I wanted to do is I wanted to help this young man who really came in vested in becoming more, I think, socially adept and becoming a better fiance to his partner. And we had probably about 10 to 15 sessions. And what we actually uncovered is that this particular patient of mine had significant childhood trauma and abuse. And I'm seeing more and more that our need to go back to understand what might have happened in our past in order to better understand our present is an imperative in real and effective long-term healing. So, for example, here's another example. I had a 60-something-year-old female who walked in my door. She's with me a few sessions. And what do we end up finding out? That her children have a very have a there's a tremendous amount of dissension between her children and her husband. And as we get into it, I actually made a statement and I said to my patient, "Well, you're living in a situation that can be defined as domestic violence." And she said to me, "Well, what is domestic violence?" And I said to her, "Domestic violence is everything that you're describing to me." Now, I'm jumping, but I'm not. So stay with me and connect the dots. You have someone who comes from an impoverished childhood background. You have someone where, as a child, whether it was their educational needs, their social needs, their physical needs, or their emotional needs, they were not met. Maybe a child was bullied by their own family. Maybe there was a dismissive tone in the family where you should have done that better. Or couldn't you have gotten a higher grade? Or what are you, a sissy? Pull up your bootstraps and get going. Any type of criticism that does not feel supportive when you're a child, it's not supportive. Okay? And that is a form of domestic violence when it gets to the point where we're speaking about verbal neglect, emotional assault. I'm not even talking yet right now about physical abuse. We know it's there. But I'm talking about the subtleties of domestic violence, okay? Or the subtleties of, you don't want to use the word domestic violence, then we will use the word, the subtleties of psychological trauma and its impact on what's going to happen as you grow and you adapt and you adjust to the stressors in life, having only a certain number of tools in your toolbox coming from the childhood background that you came from. So you have an impoverishment in your developmental growth, and it impacts who you are, the decisions that you make, and how you feel when you get older. And knowing what happened to you when you were young is even with the limitations, okay, and the impoverishments. Knowing that and then being able to process that so you can add 1 + 1 = 2. How does the childhood impoverishment, which is trauma, how does that equal where you're at right now in terms of what's bothering you? Okay, you can give us a call in if you want. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So stay with me here, because what we're doing is we're linking childhood impoverishment, which can also be defined as psychological trauma, which also can be defined if it gets to a place and escalates to an intensity and frequency where we have either neglect or abuse, emotional neglect, verbal abuse, or that dismissive style. And then what that means is, how does that impact where you're at right now? So I have people that are emailing me and they're asking me about, why do I have depression? Why do I have anxiety? I had a perfect childhood. Well, guess what? Let's go back. You really may have had a perfect childhood. And that's the way it looked if you were a bird on the roof and you were looking with a bird's eye view. And from the outside, it looked picture perfect. But when you were living in that house, the question is, was it really perfect? And that is the first question someone would need to ask themselves in order to break through their own denial, because denial is very strong. And when I have somebody who is presenting with denial, the truth is I have tremendous compassion, because the more someone is in denial, okay, the more someone is in denial, the more significant it's going to feel when they finally shatter the glass of the reality. Right? And that's the emphasis of everything that I do, is reality-based, solution-focused psychotherapy and resources for support. Okay, so we got Tom back. We're going to take just a 2-minute break, and right around the top of the 9:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time hour, I will be right back. Okay, so we'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Tom, and thank you, Don, from BBS Radio, my two great producers that have been so helpful in helping me embark on this little podcast radio show that I was really looking forward to do most of my life. So it's really my pleasure to be here and to provide resources and to talk about mental health, which is my passion, because I really believe in I believe in it. And I believe that the better you feel, the better your life will be. So let's just pop back over now to the impact of trauma. So let me recap. I'm providing quite broad and overgeneralized statements at this time. So of course, if you have questions, you can email the questions over to me at info@keepinglifereal.com, and I will answer them on the next show. Or you can just give a call in either today or the next time we're on live. The number is 888-627-6008. And you can find out about the show on www.bbsradio.com or bbs.com. I'll clarify that for you at the end. Okay, so let's just go back now. So what we're doing, broad-based generalizations here, okay, is we're talking about childhood trauma. We're talking about psychological trauma, verbal trauma, emotional trauma, physical trauma, anything that could be defined as having or having experienced an impoverished childhood that impacted you. And you might have five siblings, and four of your siblings may say, "Hey, I remember this way," but you may have actually internalized something a different way. It doesn't mean that anyone is right or wrong, because that doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you think that something is right or wrong. What matters is why you feel that, and then how do you resolve it so you are not sitting with an internal agitation inside of yourself with questions that feel they remain to be unanswered. So really, the quest of digging through the pile of dirt here is really to help you find the answers that you're looking for. But the process does take time. I'm not going to say that it doesn't. Not a lot of time. It can be done expeditiously, but it takes a plan of action. Okay, and that's what I am actually writing about in my book. And that's what I will share with my clients who come in or do virtual sessions with me. And that's what I'm trying to share with you, to provide you with another perspective, another lens of looking at why you may be depressed, why you may have anxiety, why you may have ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I don't know if it's COVID related. I don't know if it's just that I am attracting a different type of client recently, but I have had clients that are coming in with homicidal ideations. Okay, now that's really outside of the bell curve of what we're talking about on this show. But I would be remiss if I didn't say to the listeners that if you do ever feel yourself that you are in danger of either hurting yourself or hurting someone, I urge you to get to the nearest emergency room. Okay, call a taxi, call a friend, get a car, do whatever you have to do, but dial up the phone if you need to, call up and ask for emergency help, or get yourself over to the hospital to the nearest emergency room, especially if you feel if you're going to hurt yourself or somebody, because that's really, you know, we don't want that. What we want is we want it. Really improve and optimize your health and wellness. So even if that means that you need a little extra support, and that includes calling a hospital, that's okay. As long as you do it, pick up the phone and call. Okay, so back to though, general mental health issues, people walking around and then coming in and they're saying, you know, doctor, I really would like some medication. I really would like something for this, for the anxiety. I can't sleep at night. I'm overeating. I'm binge eating. I'm spending too much on my credit cards. I'm really doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Okay, I hear you. I gotcha. But first, what we have to do is I would need to assess with you as my support before we even go back and dig where we were 5 minutes ago into your past. First, I have to assess with your help, do you have the capacity to put on the internal brakes? Can you do that? Can you actually put your foot on the pedal of the brake and just stop? Just stop anything that may be in excess, that maybe while you're actually doing it, let's say, retail therapy and buying something that you really don't need, but it's feeling good and it keeps you away from what's going on inside. Okay, listen, that's not so bad. Once in a while, I get it. But if it happens over and over and it becomes chronic and persistent, then guess what? Now you have a problem in the shopping or the gambling or the excess drinking or the eating or the recklessness. Whatever is your gig, if that keeps happening, then what you need to know is that you're trying to avoid looking at something that you know internally is already there. It's your way of trying to cope in the moment without really figuring out what's underneath it. And everybody knows what happens. I mean, you can only, you know, spend so much on your credit cards until finally you say you're maxed out. Then the credit card companies are calling, right? And they're saying, hey, you got a minimum payment due, or hey, you're over your spending limit. Or guess what? Your credit score dropped. And now we cannot we can't increase your credit. We can't even allow any further charges on that credit card. So I think you get the gist of what I'm sharing here. So we have to know first, and you need to ask yourself this, I can't answer it for you. But if you think you have something that's bothering you psychologically, ask yourself also if you have any habits that may be not in your best interest, that may not be helping you long term. If you do, are you able to just, first of all, stop? Stop in the moment and just stop. Stop spending, stop gambling, stop whatever, and just stop, pause, and listen. And I will tell you as a psychologist that this is the secret of therapy. because therapy really only works when a patient has judgment and insight and the capacity to tolerate feeling frustrated about what is not being resolved just yet. So there are many people who enter therapy, but I will tell you that if you are in therapy and you do not have the capacity for insight and judgment about your own internal self, getting to where you need to be is going to be very difficult unless you have prompting from your clinician who is going to redirect and reframe and push you in a way that's going to help you get to where you want and need to be. So, send an olive branch here that you have the insight, you have the judgment, you know you have already done some research, you know you have type of logical distress you feel without giving it a diagnosis, and you want to understand why. Which case scenario? You're open, transparent, you're able to look at yourself, you're able to dialogue with me, with yourself, you're able to acknowledge your strengths and also your weaknesses, and weaknesses are not a bad thing. It just means that you're not perfect. Guess what? You're normal. So welcome to the real world. Okay. So you're doing all of this good work, all of this internal excavation, as Sigmund Freud, the father of psychoanalysis, would say. Now you and I are sitting down, or we're doing virtual sessions, or we're emailing and chatting and figuring this out by writing. And we find out we got to go back and we got to excavate a little bit. What was going on in that childhood? What was going on? And here is where we uncover what actually happened. Even, and it's without judgment. It's not that something could have happened in your childhood, and we are not judging it. We're going to presume that your caretakers, your mother, your father, whoever raised you, that they did the very best that they could. So we're not imposing judgment, and we're definitely not imposing blame. Okay? We cannot assume that there was anything except good intention. Maybe there was ignorance. Ignorance is bliss. But we have to assume that it was in good intentions that you were raised. But then you find out that, and you're telling me that you had a father that had really raised you with significant corporal punishment, or where your opinion was dismissed, or where no matter what you did, you were never good enough. Or there was a favorite in the family for whatever reason. And the list goes on and on and on and on. I don't think I need to mind read here because I can't mind read. But what I can do is I can tell you that I have significant empathy, because if it bothered you, then it's bothering you now. You just may have done something, as we call in psychology, called conversion disorder. You might have just converted the feeling into something that's more socially acceptable. So when you are having, let's say, an extra drink, and when you go out, it's more socially acceptable. People can, like, they understand that. They may not understand if you were to say, oh, you know, I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve because the way I was treated when, you know, over and over throughout my childhood, I felt dismissed, even though it wasn't my parents' intention. This is the way I perceived it. And remember, it is just a perception. And also remember, feelings, they come and they go. So they're not going to, this is not going to stay with you forever. But with resolution, you'll be able to put like a top on it, and you'll be able to click that top. I forgot the name of that. Tupperware. You'll be able to put the Tupperware top right on top, and you'll be able to click it down, that feeling, and then you'll be able to store it away. And it won't be as intrusive as it is now. But what we do is we go back and we figure out what happened, And then we understand, coming fast forward into the present, how it is impacting you here and now. And how is it manifesting? And how are you coping with it? And what are your coping strategies that work and that do not work? And where are you getting stuck? And what is holding you back from actually feeling and being better? Did you buy into that negative mindset where it was instilled in you that you weren't enough? So you sort of bought into that, and that's what you play into. So you may present with the fear of success. You see what I'm saying? Patients come in and they tell me they're anxious or depressed. And if you come from a childhood, like I just described in that example, you may not have anxiety, you may not have depression, you really just may have the fear of success, not the fear of failure. Why not the fear of failure? Because you're already good at that. You're good at really setting up a tone, setting up a situation that's going to just further, like really just really dig it into the ground, that message that you're not enough. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fear of success. Because if we were able to identify and then compartmentalize the pathological grief that comes along with childhood trauma, and we can put that away so it doesn't become intrusive in the here and now, I got news for you. Then it's time to fly. You're ready. You're good. You're going to feel better. You're going to know it. You're going to start reacting differently, hearing and listening to people differently and more effectively. And you're going to be your own spirit warrior. You're going to be your own best friend. And that's what's going to happen. So tonight we really spoke about if you feel you have a diagnosis, that's fine, but don't pinpoint yourself down into a certain compartment or a certain box. Just don't do that. Go and look for some resources and some real good scholastic and educational and medical resources where you can further funnel down what may or may not be going on. Then what you're going to do is you're going to look for some self-inventories, questionnaires. They call self-reporting instruments. This is what they're called. And you're going to look for these instruments for the type of problem that you think you have. You're going to pay attention to the questions in that inventory, and you're going to pay specific attention to the questions that do not apply to you. Because there may be more information in the questions that do not apply to you than in the questions that do. And then you're going to take the self-assessment. And at this point, now you are empowered with a sense of what's going on, why it may be happening, and then what you need to do to move forward. So then you come in to see someone like me, a clinician. You make an appointment at your mental health clinic. You sign up for some virtual mental health. And you find out, you walk in actually for your first session, and you could say, this clinician will say to you, well, why are you here? You know, why now? And you can say, I've been doing this research and listening to a lot of different podcasts. This is what I think is going on. And can you help me figure out if it's accurate? And if it is, how can I resolve it? Because this seems to keep getting in my way. Well, of course, a clinician like myself would ask you, well, how is it getting in your way? And that's going to be where you will really tell the clinician without using these words, if you really do have the capacity to do this work called therapy. So if you can tell the therapist with, and you are very transparent, and you are humble, and you are able to speak honestly about your strengths and weaknesses, and you say that you really don't know how to move forward, knowing what you know, that's going to tell your clinician, your therapist that you're working with, if you really have the capacity to make real and meaningful changes, right? And then this is where, with the clinician's help, you'll do some digging about how your past traumas, how they have impacted your present here and now. And your therapist will help you connect the dots and help you realize how you may be actually working as your own best enemy, even though, of course, we know that's not what you want, but it may be happening. And then identifying what are the strategies and what are the interventions and what it is that you need to do so we can discharge all of those toxic emotions, all of those toxic memories, all of those toxic thoughts. We discharge them, take a breath, feels good, let it go. And then you put it in a compartment and you put, like the Tupperware, you'll put the top on and you'll snap it on and you put it away so it doesn't come back and intrude on your present and moving forward into the future. So I'll close this program tonight by sharing really just a delicious story. I had a mom who brought in her 8-year-old boy, and this goes back years ago. And he was so sad because his grandpa had died. And all of these worries and all of these feelings and all of these difficulties in sadness that he didn't know how to process at the age of 8, they all came flooding out and he was overwhelmed and he was only 8. So how could he have the language to describe to me what was going on for him? But of course I knew he was feeling grief and loss and he was angry. He lost his grandpa. He didn't understand why. And he was feeling just, I think, generally speaking, a real void in his life. So what did this little boy end up doing? I did basically a very brief visualization meditation with him. And it was really quite a lovely session because in this session, he actually visualized his grandpa. And his grandpa was here with us in the session. And there were words exchanged in this visualization meditation that gave the boy significant comfort. And then with my direction and with the grandpa being there in his heart and soul, the little boy said that grandpa was going off on a cloud. And I said, well, he felt all better. The child told me, I said, before you open your eyes, let me know how you're feeling. And he said, I feel good. I know grandpa's okay. He's in heaven. So I said, well, are you able to take all of those feelings that you have that you shared with me, that anger and that feeling of grief and sadness now that you know grandpa's okay? Are you able to maybe take all those feelings and put it on a cloud, another cloud that you see? And he was visualizing all of this, but he was responding to it and it worked. So he did. He said, okay, I did. I said, okay, so can we let that cloud now, let it float away?